Hello, America. Hello, Arizona. Hello, Tucson. And hello, radio listeners to KVOI. This is the Common Good radio show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am your man, your friend, your brother, Pastor John McClain. Here in studio, as always, is my man, my brother of another mother, the I Believe in Myself Motivational Coach of the Year, Andreas Ruiz. How you like that?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, coming in and with style this morning. Yeah. This is a Sunday to remember.
Styling and profiling like Ric Flair, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
Absolutely. And I welcome you all to the show. And it says in the good book that wherever two or more of you meet in my name, there I am. So welcome to church with us this morning for the Common Good radio show, and we're ready to get the party started. Today we have an awesome show for you. We have Pastor John McClain's verse of the week, which this week it'll be 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, which is something good for those Bible readers out there that are aware of the good book. And then the second part of the show, we will have the I Believe in Myself tip of the week, which I know Andreas has something cooked up good.
Yes, sir.
It's a surprise for me, just like everybody else every week, but I know it's going to be good. I feel it. And then the second half of the show, we will have Dr. J in the house.
Yep.
Dr. Jennifer Herrera in studio with us, the superintendent of Tucson International Academy and the amazing author of the book Making College Come True, which I have a copy, signed copy here with me in studio. And like every show, every Common Good show, we bow our head and give up the love to the great God and make sure that that everybody knows that he gets all the grace and he makes this happen. So we start with the serenity prayer. It goes something like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, man. Every time it gets me. It shakes me every time.
No, I agree 100%, man.
It's a beautiful prayer.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely, up until we did this show, I didn't say it enough, but I'm glad we have it to say.
No, yeah, it's really staying in my subconscious now, man. Now I probably dream about it every now and then.
I know, and it's going to get to the point where like you and I are going to be kind of like just chanting it to ourselves as we start the show every single time.
Yeah,
for sure. So that aside, enough of that good praise to the God. Let's give a little bit more with Pastor John McClain's verse of the week. And I'll give you all a second to pull out your Bibles or pull up your Google and your laptop and pull out 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-5. Once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-5. And it goes like said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not honor. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And I almost feel like I couldn't say that slow enough so it truly resonated. But like usual, I have three points that I want you to all kind of consider and ponder over as the week goes through. The first one is that, and I want to think of this in reference to Andreas, having Andreas here in the studio with me, and the way that I practice love. When I see the way that love here, you know, how do I practice it? And with you, Andreas, I will be patient, I will be kind, and I won't envy you. You know, mm-hmm. and that's a way that certainly that I could practice love with you.
Yes.
And then also with the world, or, you know, as with society, with people in general, I will not boast, mm-hmm. you know, I'll be proud or dishonor them. And then, and kind of looking at, looking within, I will not be self-seeking. I will not anger easily. And I will not keep records of wrong. And that's for me. So, I mean, in this verse, what I'm seeing here and the way that we're practicing love, it's how I practice love with other individuals on a personal level, how I practice love in a general level with the world, mm-hmm. with society, and then how I practice love with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I, this definitely, once again, it's a beautiful verse that I love to reflect upon. And I certainly, I suggest to those out there, you know, whenever you're questioning yourself, questioning love, question, you know, wondering what is this, refer on this, because this is something beautiful that you can kind of think of, okay, am I practicing love with those that are around me? And if I'm not, how can I?
Mm.
So this is Pastor John McClain's verse of the week. And once again, I'll flip it over to Andreas and get your thoughts on this, my friend.
Yeah, man. When I saw the part of keeps no records of wrongs, it's kind of reminded me of maybe not having resentment towards people or grudges or even records of wrong things that we've done in our lives, mm-hmm. which we keep a lot. We hold a lot against ourselves, and mm-hmm. we can be our own worst critic. And then the whole self-seeking reminds me of just not being greedy, not being selfish. You know, just thinking about other people and being very considerate of other people, which that was very hard for me. To this day, I kind of still struggle with that because it's something that I learned. And of course, it's still an excuse that I'm making right now, but I'm being more aware of it. So the part where it is not easily angered, mm-hmm. that's self-awareness and that's just self-love. When you're aware of yourself and you're actually constantly challenging your thoughts and saying, wait, this thought doesn't serve me. Now I'm more aware of it. So this is very powerful, man. This is beautiful. I'm going to definitely keep this with me because it just hit for me today. So thank you.
And a little exercise I'd like to do in the past with this verse is where it says love, replace that with God, the word God. Because in a lot of ways, you know, I see God as love, and it's referred to that in the Bible. And this, and then you have a kind of a different verse, but kind of a cool makeup of a relationship that one can have with God. So once again, this was Pastor John McClain's verse of the week.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. I want you also to go ahead and give us a call at 790-2040. We got a couple pair of tickets to the feature documentary called Here Comes That Dreamer, about an Iraqi war vet that has been working the past 10 years here at Tucson to help the homeless. And it's going to be premiering at Harkins Theater on November 15th. Once again, call 790-2040 for your chance to win a couple tickets. We'll be right after these commercials. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I am your coach and speaker, Andres Ruiz, along with the great Pastor John McClain. And in the house, we have Dr. J. Welcome,
Dr. J.
Dr.
J in the
hello,
house.
Hello, hello.
I'm really excited to have Dr. J here, especially, you know, since I'm going to talk about my motivational tip of the week, and definitely want to see if I can get some your take on this as well. So today I actually want to talk about having unstoppable confidence. I think that confidence is crucial in order for us to have success in life, in our personal and our professional life. And for me, confidence, it took a long time, a lot of years. To this day, I still every now and then still need some confidence. I'm not the most confident person in the world, mm-hmm. but I am pretty confident about myself, and that's why I wear the shirt. I believe in myself. Yes. Gotta believe in yourself.
Absolutely.
So I have a few tips that I'd like to give to you, and this is something that I talked about to some college students this past week.
Nice.
And how we were talking about how we make a lot of excuses in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We make up excuses why we can't do the work, why we can't finish our homework, why we procrastinate. Oh, I'll leave it for later.
Yeah.
No, I have plenty of time. Leaving it for the last minute, having anxiety and just trying to get to it. And I kept asking them, okay, let's keep it real. what kind of excuses are you been making? And I told them my excuses that I've been making. Mm. And once I said that, they said, okay, yeah, I have this excuse, I have that excuse. Uh-huh. And I put in them into some breakout rooms.
Yeah.
On Zoom, and then they came up with all these amazing excuses, and I said, okay, so now that you know what the excuse is, what are you going to do about it? So what I want to ask everybody that's listening is, what excuses have you been telling yourself? Mm. What's the story that you've been telling yourself? Is it, okay, I can't lose weight because I don't have enough time. Is that really true? No, it's not. I can't finish that paper because I don't have enough time. Okay, maybe you're not prioritizing the paper. Maybe you're prioritizing going out with your girlfriend for some coffee and a muffin or something, mm-hmm. when you can actually be doing the work. So what is the excuse? And like Tony Robbins says, divorce the story of limitation and marry the truth of your potential. Mm. Because we have a story. We all have a story, and we've been telling ourselves the same story for many years. So what we have to do is we have to change the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, what are your thoughts about the story? How many times have you heard stories? I bet Dr. J has heard many.
Oh, yeah. The classic, why didn't you get your homework done? The dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
You know, and in COVID, it's like COVID, when they cleaned the house for COVID, they threw it out. Mm-hmm. We've heard everything about why they couldn't turn in their work.
Huh. Yes.
Interesting.
What are your thoughts?
Well, it's definitely... I was thinking that a lot lately is just like, it seems like no matter what it is, and rightfully so in a lot of situations, the answer is COVID mm-hmm. for the problem. But I know just from my own experience, and I always use this terminology, my upper limit problem is I regularly say, I don't have time from that.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing that I love from the book, again, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, is he says, I am where time comes from.
Mm.
So it's hard for me to say I don't have time for it if I'm where time comes from. I'm the one who decides where I need to be or what time I need to do it or what I choose to do or whether I do this over that. Like the other day, for example, I had a meeting to go to, more or less. And I was trying to like fashion my whole schedule around it. I was so stressed to try to fashion. I was hungry and I was like, oh man, I don't have time to eat because I have to make it to this meeting. But then I was just like, no, I'm where time comes from. I'm gonna eat. And then if I'm, you know, a little late to this meeting or this and this and that happens, and that happens. But mm-hmm. you know, I'm where time comes from. So
I like that. I like that.
I certainly love that. Once again, that you bring this up to kind of like remind us that like we're in charge.
Yep.
Like nobody else is in charge of us except for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to ask everybody. What is the excuse that you're making, and how can you change that excuse to something that will not limit you to make sure that you're taking action? And then the next one is your circle. The circle of people who you're hanging out with is huge. That one, I heard a lot of people tell me that, you know, my mother-in-law, my mom, my dad, they keep telling me that I shouldn't be doing all these things. And I'm not saying that you have to get rid of people in your life, but you have to set a boundary, and you have to tell them, you know, the way that you talk to me, I don't appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just set a boundary with people, because people are just only instilling their own fears in you. And we have to be very aware, does the person that I'm hanging out with today, do they inspire me? Do they motivate me? Are they in the arena? Like I was talking right now in my Facebook Live, I was telling, are the people that are criticizing you or giving you their advice, are they in the arena? And if they're not, then what you have to do is you have to start looking for people who are actually in the arena, not in the bleachers, because the people in the bleachers, they will criticize you, they will make fun of you, they will praise you, but praise or criticize, it doesn't matter what they say, with all respect, you know? Mm-hmm. What really matters is what you say to yourself. But if you're taking their opinions seriously and these people are not in the arena, then maybe you have to really consider the people that are in your circle.
Mm.
And then the next tip that I have is validation. Stop asking for people's validation.
Mm-hmm.
We always are trying to ask for people's validation. What do you think about my dream? Do you think it's good enough? No, it's not good enough. And then this person is one of those people that's in the bleachers. So if that person that's in the bleachers is giving you their own opinion and you're seeking their validation and they shut it down, then you're going to start thinking, oh man, maybe they're right. Maybe I shouldn't write that book. Maybe I shouldn't start that school. Maybe I shouldn't start that veterans rescue mission. Maybe I shouldn't start my own coaching business or anything that you're thinking about. But stop asking for validation, because once we start asking for validation and we start expecting validation from everybody else, then we won't even make our own opinions or our own dreams valid. Mm-hmm. We're eliminating them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your thoughts are about validation.
Well, I think, I mean, and I was having a conversation with a friend the other day about the idea of analysis paralysis, the friend I was talking to, very educated person, but surprisingly has never heard of this notion before, this analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
But for those who haven't heard of it before, it's this idea that we, especially us with our big brains, we put ourselves in this, where we're paralyzed, this paralyzed state, over trying to analyze it and have it be set up and planned perfectly before you give it any action.
Yeah.
But any successful person, or most successful people, will tell you they became successful because they did it. Because they made movement on it. They did something. They didn't get stuck in analyzing it. Yeah, of course, you know, you want to plan stuff up. You want to have a strategy. Mm-hmm. You want to think it out, but don't get stuck there. Like, plan it out and then move, and then you'll figure it out as it goes.
Definitely. What are your thoughts, Dr. J?
We always tell students to think, like, as you're getting ready to do something and to take action, start with the end in mind. How will you know that the actions you take were validated, were good? Mm-hmm. And so if you start with the end in mind, you're able then to kind of work backwards, and you can say, well, I'll know I was successful if 100% of our students get accepted to college. I'll know I was successful if I have a presence in the audience and they listen. They don't get up and leave, you know. I'll know I was successful if I end up with a job that is more fulfilling and satisfying than if I had just stayed for the status quo. So it's like, whatever it is, you have to set it up ahead of time, then you don't have to fight that battle later. You already know. And then how do you know if your goal is right? Well, set a mission statement. Be purposeful in the beginning. Be purposeful. You have an idea, you want to head that way, so as you head that direction, you make some plans, you think about the scope of things. Who am I? What am I called to do? How does this work within the framework of what I believe I should be focusing on right now? Does this fit? If it fits, then you go through the door. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, then you just consider, is there a timing issue? Is there another person I could pass this on to? Or is
this
something?
You're pre-shadowing our next segment, aren't you?
Okay,
I see you.
No, you're on fire.
I see you.
That was fire right there.
It's a part of my...
Sneak peek of Dr. J's.
She's on fire. She's ready, man. So, and if any of you are ready to take your life to the next level, I am starting my Legacy Coaching Academy in mid-November. It's my second coaching academy. If you've been thinking about, you know, there's got to be something more to this life than what I'm doing right now. If you're the type of person who wants to serve somebody, if you're the type of person that wants to make a side income, eventually make it a full-time income, and, you know, run your own calendar, be your own boss, you know, like, do work that you love every single day and get paid for it, Legacy Coaching Academy is for you. You can check it out at ibelieveinmyself.org, or you can also send me an email at ibelieveinmyselfcoaching@gmail.com, or you can check me out at Andres Ruiz on Facebook, and I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and give you the details, and I would definitely love to see you join us so you can take your life to the next level and find your life's purpose. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission, right?
Yes.
That's the name of the organization?
Yes,
that's right. And I happen to be Pastor John McClain of Veteran Rescue Mission, so I'm going to learn how to say it right. And then here in studio with me is, much easier to say, I Believe in Myself's own Andreas Ruiz. And then also we have Dr. J in the house with Tucson International Academy, and the proud author of Making College Come True.
Yes.
And me, you, Andreas, and our beautiful listening audience get to learn and get a little bit of guidance for ourselves, or maybe for somebody in our lives that's considering college, or maybe they're not considering college, but after they hear from Dr. J, they will.
Yeah.
So here we go. So
awesome.
This is this week's edition of Dr. J's Key of the Week. And this week's Key of the Week is Education is the Door.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. So to get the ball rolling, I was reading the book. It's actually one of my favorite books, one of the three that I'm digging into right now. And in the book, Making College Come True, you tell a story about walking through a door. And this door, it's this literal door, and then this metaphorical door. So tell us about this story and how it relates to education.
I'm excited. Well, walking through a door is a transition point. So you're transitioning from either the outside to the inside or from one room into another. Mm-hmm. And through every door, there is a different presentation of options or of experience that you can have in that next place. And so I love the metaphor of the door, because the doors is something we experience every day. I mean, to get into this studio, I walk through two doors and it prepares you. Each time you walk through, you can use that as a touch point for yourself to prepare you to get ready. Like as I came through this door, I said, I'm ready to speak. I'm ready to give hope and encouragement to people. Yeah. And so I just did it naturally, but I guess that came from probably years of conditioning just due to coaching and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the door that I was talking about in the book is the door to actually in the Vatican, there's a door, and every 50 years is Jubilee, and the Catholic Church, you know, and Christianity in general talk about Jubilee every 50 years. You are, people are forgiven. It's like a start over. You press the reset button and you get to experience freedom from everything that held you back. And nobody can hold you to like debt or to wrongdoing. Everything is just forgiven. So when you walk through the door, the old is behind you and all the new is in front of you. And so at the Vatican, they have a physical door. It's a smaller door off to the right of the main doors to the Vatican. And our school believes in taking kids on trips. And so we went to Rome that year, and you know, you cannot go to Rome and not go to the Vatican City. It's so beautiful, all the art and all the things. And a lot of our kids have a Catholic background, so there's a lot of interest in that. So of course we went on the tour, and that particular year was Jubilee, and our group, our tour group, got chosen to be allowed to go through the door. So for that, they have a special pathway. And as you walk down the path towards the Vatican and towards the cathedral there, you just have a different experience, because they've kind of set you up to consider your past, consider what you're grateful for, pause and think about this, pause and think about that. And then you arrive at the door. Once you arrive at the door, they encourage you to forget all the negative. And as you go through door, start fresh and new with the gift of starting, like restart. And so as we went, I thought, I'm gonna definitely take advantage of this, because a lot of it, the experience you have is intentional. And we know this from coaching. You know, Andres, I've heard him say many times, if you're intentional about things, you'll get more out of it. So as you go through the door, for me, I let go of, you know, things like I also have a you know, my spiritual beliefs. And I just let go of things that I've always felt bad about that I've done in the past. And, you know, I wish I could have been more there for, you know, my dad when he was dying, or whatever other thing might have been happening at the time. And it's like, it's like, you know what, time to stop playing that old tape over and over, that story over and over. It's not not empowering, it's not helping. So as I walked through the door, I thought, I'm gonna leave that on the other side, and I'm never going back. So we went through the door, and when you go through the door, you see this beautiful place, all these different areas in the Vatican itself, and you're like, wow, it's so beautiful. And you gave, we went to a very humble small door, and then they routed us through, and a girl gave us the talk about all the beauty, and then we just had time to walk around. But what an experience. And you know, every one of us had some sort of kind of significant moment in just walking through that door. Meant different things to different people, and I think there was probably a personal element too that we all got out of it that we didn't necessarily share. So
That's beautiful. And so now, like, whenever you have those thoughts every now and then, if they come up or anything like that, how do you make sure that you do the walking through the door right now? Of course, you're not at the Vatican, but how do you keep that consistency?
I let it sound like a distant voice, like, oh, you should have been there. And then I'm like, but I did the best I could. And that's behind me. And then I just focus on something in front of me, you know?
Nice.
So it's like, let it just sound, and what do you call it? Like, be like volume turned down until you can't hear it anymore. That's what I do. And it's the same with going to college. I mean, college opens doors. I mean, no doubt about it. It's, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's so much money. And people think the only reason to go to college is for the money. It is not. I mean, I'm an educator. I have a PhD and I make a lot less money than many, many people who are just managers at the grocery store, which is not some small thing. Being a manager at a grocery store is a big thing. But they didn't have to go to college for, you know, 15 years like I did to do that job. And so, so with it, what you get is richness of life, and it's also the exposure to people. I mean, I met people from all over the world. I met professors with very radical ideas, you know, things that I don't even agree with, but it was so interesting to hear how, like, on fire they were about this. So when we have weird times like now, like with the riots and tearing up the downtowns of big cities, I sort of have a different perspective because I remember that professor who was kind of like into that too. And I'm like, well, I guess there are people who do believe in that, you know. I it is not my shared opinion, but okay, I understand it at least. And so how can you respond to it in light of that? I think we're able to respond in love, like you guys were talking about the verse of the day. It's like that unconditional love that says, you know, I'm not going to stand in agreement with that, but I understand that you have passion for this issue. And if I could just redirect people a different way to respond that's not so destructive, that's another victory. You know, and that's another role that I gladly will play, will pay, will play. So, yeah, and the doors that it opens for you with education, once you get that degree, you wouldn't think it'd be much, but it sure is. It's like keys to a kingdom. It's like, I never thought much of it because most everybody I know has a degree, so it's like, you know, everybody has one. But then they really don't, and when it comes to a bank loaning you money, they kind of say, so let's see your background. Well, yeah, I'm thinking, why would it matter if I have a college degree or not for a loan? I mean, you would think they would want to see if I could pay my debts and look at my money. Well, they also look at that, of course. But why? I know why now, because a friend of mine who's a banker told me, and she's a loan officer, and she said, Jennifer, because anybody who went through years of college has had to toe the line with regulation. And in banking, we have so many regulations, and we need to know that that person is going to pay and that they understand what it is to jump through hoops and to make things happen when maybe your economy didn't quite work out so well, because you want to be able to know that you're going to get that return on investment.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I took from reading the book so far is on average, a person with a college degree over their lifespan makes over $1 million more than a person without it.
There's that.
I thought that was pretty huge. So we're going to talk about that and more after these commercial breaks. I also want you guys to go to veteranrescuemission.org. Check that out. We're also asking for donations of vehicles at this point. We had a beautiful anonymous donor donate a Nissan Versa this past week for a vet.
I saw that.
So
beautiful.
God has been very good to us, but we have so much more that is needed. We have plenty of vets that need to get to their appointments, need to get to their jobs. So anything that you can do, go to veteranrescuemission.org to donate. And we'll be back with the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission right after this break.
Yeah, I love that one always. It's like real smooth, just like easy listening. You just lay, you know, kick your feet up. And yes, my listening audience out there, this is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. And I am still the one and only Pastor John McClain.
Yes.
Here with also the one and only Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself. You believe in yourself, don't
you? I believe in myself.
Yeah,
I believe in you. I believe in Tom, too.
And then we got Dr. J. And if you don't believe in Dr. J, you don't know. And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, certainly.
And we have
Dr.
J with Tucson International Academy and also the author of Making College Come True in here, trying to help you, listening audience, make college come true.
Yes.
And I have, I think, one of my favorite questions I've asked one of our guests in the studio to ask you, Miss Dr. J. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I know you are. You get that glow in your face, I can tell. Okay, so if you hadn't pursued your education in the capacity you have, where would you be today?
That's a fun one. Well, education for me really has made all the difference. Once I realized my mission in life had to do with working with kids, you know, and then my family, I mean, I come from a long line, both sides of the family, being educators. So I resisted that at first. I wanted to be in business. And, but I mean, my grades in business were not that great, but I took one class on teaching and I got an A++. All the professors were like, oh my gosh, you're so good with the kids. And so I thought, well, okay, so this is a gifting. And it was fun. It was a lot more fun than my business classes. So I thought, yeah, this is a confirmation. So I went with teaching and everything, and I was content really to just be a full-time career teacher. I never had a desire to be a principal. I always thought all my principals worked too hard and took too much BS from all the parents and from the kids and from the administration, and they just never had a break. And I thought, you couldn't pay me enough money to be a principal. Be careful what you say. So as I took my master's degree, you know, as a teacher, it's common that we get a master's degree because we usually get a promotion, a raise. And it's just part of like continuing learning. You know, you're back in touch with what is expected in college, and it helps you hone your skills as you prepare kids. And so long story short, in my master's degree, they were recruiting for a doctorate. And so I got invited to this special meeting, and they fed us and made us feel special. And they said, we really think you in particular, you group of five, are called to be part of our doctorate program. And they didn't have a spiritual intonation about that, just that was the words they used. And they said, we just know who it's going to work for, and we just have feelings about people, and our intuition is you're the ones. So we'd like you to consider continuing on with your doctorate, and this is how it works, and this is how much it costs, and this is how much, you know, these are the scholarships we are prepared to offer you. So it's like, oh, okay, doctorate. I was like, thanks, but no thanks. You know, I'm done. You know, I got my degree, I'm done. But no, you know, couldn't sleep. I knew they were right. I knew this was something I needed to do. And I thought, but how am I going to tell my husband? I mean, God, I've been in college as long as we've been married, you know? It's like first 15 years we were married, I was still in college. So it's like, you know, that's a long time. And, but long story short, he agreed to it. So I knew that was another intuitive yes. So went for it, got my doctorate. Wasn't sure why. I thought maybe I would prepare teachers. I like to teach. So teaching teachers would be my next mission. I thought that was good. But I finished my doctorate, and that just wasn't going to happen. There's a lot of politics in the university, and I don't really play games very well. I'm very straightforward, black and white, concrete when it comes to those kinds of things. So I probably wouldn't have lasted too long. So I thought, what can I do instead? And they had opened up charter schools. So charter schools, great. I heard about them, didn't hear that great of things about them. And but one of my friends who was my substitute teacher at my regular teaching job, because I worked the whole time I did my degrees, he said, you got to come and see my wife's charter school. You are going to love it. And I thought, oh, thanks, but no thanks. But he kept bothering me. So finally, I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to go to shut him up. So I went. And when I got there, it was ugliest building I ever saw in my life. Horrible. But the people, the children were so excited, and they had such pride about their school.
Awesome.
And I thought, okay, doesn't have anything to do with the building, that's for sure. So I said, what is this driving force? Well, it's the whole thing that you're able to do with charters, because you come up with a mission and you will attract people that are like-minded with that. And for me, it was international education that I thought would be fun, and just to celebrate diversity. And I had been in a bilingual classroom for many years, so I just thought, wow, gosh, I guess I could have a charter potentially, and I could, you know, catch kids that are falling through the cracks, you know, especially diverse kids from a diverse background who are so smart, but they just don't have the confidence, or they just don't have a role model in their family that they can look to who's gone to college. They'd essentially be the first to go to college. And that excited me. So that I had some energy for, and I thought, wow, that's who I'd like to help. So long story short, I wrote a charter and got it. And to get a charter, you have to present your plan to the charter board, the Arizona State Board of Charter Schools. And so I went to present my plan, and I had to sit for about five other schools, and they was like, nope, nope. what kind of idea is that? No. You know, and I was like, oh my God, wow, I better just sit here and get my no then. You know, I was like, and then, you know, lots of questions and kind of not that nice. Kind of, to me, it felt aggressive, but that's the business world, you know. So yeah. For me, I was new to it. It sounded scary. So I was sitting there and I was like, they were like, all right, next, you know, Jennifer Herrera. Oh, Dr. Jennifer Herrera. And I was like, yes, it's me. And I went and I stood and I stated what we were supposed to state. And they looked around at each other and they go, I'm ready to vote. Anyone else? I thought, well, here we go. Get a no already. And I thought, well, let's get it over with. And then they go, I move that we give a charter to Dr. Jennifer Herrera.
Wow.
I was like, come again? You know, and it was a yes, I second it. All those in favor, aye. Congratulations. We're glad to see that you're going to have a beautiful school for kids.
Mm. Wow.
I was just like stunned. I didn't even know what to say. Thank you. You know,
it's like, it sounds like a Disney movie you just described in 5 minutes right there. That was amazing.
It was one of those moments. And so I thought, this is way bigger than myself. Mm-hmm. This is a bigger thing. This is going to take a team effort. And it was a team effort to plan for it. But it's like after that happened, I was like, I wonder why they gave it to me. And what we decided just amongst ourselves, the people that were with me to support me that day, was that the degree kind of did it for them. Like, they're like, she's already jumped through hoops. She already knows regulation. And if she got her dissertation published, we know she knows how to obey five different people because you have five people on your committee. So you basically have five editors for your book. And so if you're able to, you know, put up with that, that's a lot of compliance. And they need compliant charter holders. And so, you know, thankfully, this is my 19th year of being a charter school, and we've survived all that, and we've always stayed in compliance. The few times we've been slightly out, it was just, we just didn't realize the law had changed or whatever, and we just quickly, you know, changed and did what they asked, and it's been a great journey. Amazing.
And what I also heard, probably on a personal level, and those listening that are wondering, like, what should I dedicate my time to, like, what should I get a PhD in, what should I get a degree in, big thing that I heard you say is, first, you thought, maybe I get a business degree, but then you didn't do so well at that. But then you did exceptionally well at you know, education at this one thing. So, you know, definitely those listening, I imagine you would suggest, you know, find what you're good at, try different things. And then I guess kind of the last question as we go into break, we've got about a minute and a half. What are the five things one can do to get accepted into college?
Yes. Okay, well, how we have quite a multi-step program at our schools for the kids that do attend. And we're at some point going to put a class online, hopefully, to help kids take those steps. But the five basic steps, the first one is, you got to know your mission. Who are you? Get to know yourself. Give yourself the gift of finding out what you're excited about, what problem in the world bothers you, and how can you solve it. And that's a good indicator for what your mission is. So once we help a child, a student, kind of determine that, then we go on to the next step, which is, what kind of education do I need to get that to be able to serve in that capacity? And then, so you choose career, basically you choose how to prepare for that career. You get a FAFSA. The FAFSA just opened October 1st, and our kids have already all taken it, and they have their money ready to go for next year. And then you do a grade point average. The harder you work in high school and get that grade point average up, the better you're going to have money. And the fifth thing is you do need a financial plan. And that financial plan is all kinds of things. Can even be a job, can even be scholarship, can even be that FAFSA.
Wow. Nice. Beautiful.
That was amazing.
And I'm going to ask you, as we're closing the show, I would love for you to advise me on some of this stuff. I definitely saw like getting scholarships and stuff like that. I would love to root in that.
So. Sure.
Let's certainly talk about it later.
You heard it
on air that Pastor John's going to get help from Dr. J on getting his PhD.
Yeah,
Mom, are you listening? What?
This is great.
But this is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. This is Pastor John McClain here with Andreas Ruiz.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being here. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Peace.